greet all of you this morning in the name of our Savior and Lord. If I was to get up here this morning and I'd tell you that I can offer you a joy that is greater than any other, a blessedness that is happiness to its fullest measure, assurance of entering the everlasting kingdom of God, and peace that surpasses understanding, would you be interested? I'm sure you would, but I can't offer you that this morning. But we're going to talk about one who can. Several weeks ago, I had a message on the seven wonders of Jesus. As I thought about that, and I thought about the Lord's Day before what we call Christmas, I would like to look at the secrets of the abundant life in Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He desires for every one of you this morning to possess that abundant life. He offers his abundant life not only by his sacrificial death on the cross, but also by his teachings that are recorded in the Gospels, by the apostles. In verse 11 of John chapter 15, we go to John 15. We're going to look at a number of verses there this morning. He says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Why? So it overflows to others. We are here today as God's people to make the abundant life attractive to others. He offers the abundant life to each and every one. Through his teaching, then, we can learn the secrets of the abundant life and how to possess it, many of which are found right here in the 15th chapter of the book of John. Where Jesus pictures himself as the vine and his disciples as the branches. Looking at verses 1 through 5, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. As branches, we are here to bear fruit. And this leads us to the first secret of possessing the abundant living. We are to bear fruit. And Jesus is coming someday to gather the fruit. And the first fruit is this, that we are here to win souls to Christ. And we are here to help those souls grow. And our families, our children, are one of the greatest mission callings we have. Paul speaks of this kind of fruit in Romans 1:13. One characteristic of the branch bearing fruit is that it produces a product identical to itself. Therefore, one way a disciple bears fruit is by producing another disciple, by making disciples. That's what Jesus is looking for in soul winning. God changes the heart. We do the planting. But it is God who changes the heart. Winning souls. Are you a soul winner this morning? The second point under the first fruit that we are to bear is sharing with those in need. Paul speaks of contributing to the poor as a fruit. Contributing to those in need. Go to Romans chapter 15. We'll come back here to John 15 again. In Romans chapter 15, Paul speaks of this very thing, where he says in 25 to 28, Now to him that is of power, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets saying to... I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 16. Go to chapter 15, verses 25 to 28. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them, a Macedonia and a Chai, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by unto you in Spain. He is saying here that part of our Christian fruit is to share with those in need. He speaks of contributing to those who were needy. In his own way, Jesus certainly did this as he went through his ministry here on earth. He met the needs of others. My friends, this morning, serving God is serving others. So if the vine did this, we should expect the branches to do the same. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. We have another scripture that speaks very clearly of this. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Is that the kind of fruit that God is seeing in our life this morning? The fruit of the secret of bearing fruit in possessing the abundant life. Thirdly, under the fruit of is the developing Christ-like character. Notice that the first fruit of the Spirit is the development of certain graces found in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. One who abounds in such qualities, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Indeed, he is being renewed according to the image of him who created him. Fourthly, praising God and giving thanks. The author of Hebrews describes such activities as a sort of fruit. Praising God is a fruit. And I trust that's the object of your being here this morning, to praise and to honor and glorify God. Maybe I should ask the question, why are you here? Again, the vine was known for such behavior. God, Jesus, glorified God. Do we glorify God this morning? Should his branches do any less? May we be challenged this morning to glorify God. Now we go to the second point. The secret of abundant life. The secret of bearing fruit is abiding. It talks about abiding in the vine. We cannot bear any fruit except we are connected with the vine. It's impossible for us to bear fruit. It's impossible for the branches to bear fruit if they're not connected to the vine. It's impossible to have grapes in a vineyard that are not connected to the vine. Discerning the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in the vine, to see the connection. And notice how often Jesus uses the word abide here in this chapter. In John chapter 15, verse 4, he uses it three times. 5, 6, and 7, he uses it two times. 9 and 10, two times. He says abide. It's very important that we abide in the vine, that we have that connection with Jesus, who is the vine. Abide. Do we see the importance tonight, this morning, of being connected to the Word of God so that we be connected to the vine? The secret of bearing fruit is abiding. A branch does not bear fruit. A branch does not bear fruit by struggling, but by abiding in the vine. When you walk through a vineyard, do you detect tension and struggle among the branches as they bear fruit? No. Instead, there is a calm. There is confidence, resting. There's a resting feeling, an abiding as branches draw their life from the vine. But what about you and I this morning? When someone walks into our presence, do they detect a calmness, a peaceful rest? Or is there tension? Is there struggle? I'm not sure where it was read anymore. Are we biting and devouring one another? What kind of branch are you? What kind of branch am I this morning? Having put on Christ and being united together with Him, our union with Him is like that of the branch to the vine. In verse 5, ye can do nothing except ye abide in me. I trust that truth grips us this morning. The communion and our mutual abiding with the vine, Christ, enables the branches, our disciples, to be able to live a fruit-bearing life. The branch receives the vine, from the vine the strength necessary to bear fruit. Do you receive your strength from God this morning by finding your roots deep into the Word of God, by finding your roots deep into a prayer life that has meaning? The strength and power are available to those in Christ. Paul often wrote about this. Go to the book of Philemon, where Paul writes about this. Philemon chapter 4, verses 13 and verse 19. Where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then in verse 19, he says, but by my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's our God this morning. And he has all that you need to be connected to the vine and to stay connected. The strength or power is available to those in Christ. It's there. He wanted others to know that the great power available to them. He often gave examples of how this power could transform our lives. So the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ, and He in us. Through such communion and fellowship, we benefit from Christ's strength. And it is true with us this morning that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Through such communion and fellowship, we benefit from the strength we receive from Christ, so that we may be able to bear fruit and bear more fruit for Him. And in turn, experience the abundant life that He's offering you and I today. He's offering all mankind. Are we abiding in Christ and He in us? We need not wonder this morning, for there are several things that will be manifest in our lives when we abide in Christ. And I want to talk about some of those things this morning, evidences that we are abiding in Christ that need to be seen in our life. John 15, verse 5, we're going to bear much fruit. It says here, same bringeth forth much fruit. This is the most obvious sign when others can see the fruit of our life and can see Jesus in our life. When one is consistently bearing the sort of fruit described in this chapter, whereas the lack of fruit can be an indication of one of three things. Either we're not in union with the one, either we're not connected to the vine. Our devotion is somewhere else. Or there was a union, but the branch has already been cut off. It says very clearly here that if this branch does not bear fruit, eventually the outcome will be cut off. Let's not find ourselves there. Secondly, the Father is also pruning the branches. If you want fruit trees to produce, you must prune them. Get rid of those things that don't belong there. Has God been doing some pruning in your life? And I believe that we should see evidences of the Father's work in our lives, in which things that would hinder us are being cut away. It may be painful at times as we think of a pruning process. The Word of God can be a very powerful instrument in the hands of the Lord. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Everything is open before God, even what you're thinking, even what you're doing, even though others may never see. As we read it or hear it, as we read or hear the Word of God, it can expose us for what and who we really are. And when received properly, it will help us make changes in our life because of what we've heard and what we've read in the Scriptures, and because of knowledge that we've gained in the Scriptures. Is it changing your life? Is it changing mine? So if we're not constantly growing through the influence of the Word of God, clearly, we are not abiding in the vine. So I believe that we will continue to grow. I believe it will be a growing process. In the third place, abiding is a growing sense our dependence upon God. Where he says in the end of that verse, "For without me you can do nothing." We will come to realize that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We have no power of ourselves unless we are connected to this vine. But those who abide in Christ, like Paul, who realized, as we read before, the true source of his strength, that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. In the fourth place, our prayers being answered is another indication. Verses 7 and 8 in this chapter: if I abide in me and my words abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. God hears and answers the prayers of his disciples. As we abide in Christ, our prayers will be answered. Maybe not in ways that we always think they should, but they will be answered. Of course, such answered prayers will depend upon several factors: that we keep his commandments, and do the things that please him. Do you live to please God today? Do I live to please God? And that our requests be according to God's will. Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And that must be our prayers, only according to God's will. And that our requests are not for selfish gain. But one who abides in Christ this morning should be able to look back and see evidences of answered prayers in our lives. We should see God working in our life, though not always answered in the way we expect it. In the fifth place, love for Christ and his people is going to be evident in our life. And you look at verses 9 and verse 12 in this same chapter. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Also in verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A love for Christ and his people and all people is evidence that we are abiding in the vine, is one of the evidences of abiding in the vine. Indeed, Christ commands us to love one another. And also in verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. It's stressing the importance of that. And those who do not love the children of God do not know God. And there are a number of scriptures we could turn to there. 1 John 3:14, let me read that. There's a number of others as well. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's a branch that is cut off. The last point under that one is there'll be an inner joy. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not the absence of trials and troubles. That's not what he's saying. But a joy born of the assurance that Christ has overcome the world. And that through him we can be overcomers. We can be more than conquerors through him that saved us. It's good for us as branches to examine ourselves at times and see really what kind of fruit we are bearing. For the secret of the abundant life is bearing fruit. And the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. And so if we are not abiding in Christ, we cannot enjoy that abundant life. Another secret to enjoy the abundant life is the secret of obedience. Now, we talked a little bit about that. The secret of abiding is obeying the commands of Jesus, as stated by Jesus himself. In John 15, verse 10. I read that verse before, but it says, if you keep my commandments. Obedience is required. It's an evidence of that we are, one of the secrets of abiding is obeying, is that we are enjoying the abundant life. We can enjoy the abundant life. By keeping his commandments, we will be his friends, and we will be his disciples, as John talks about. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Am I a disciple of Jesus this morning? And are we out there sowing the seed and making other disciples? Parents, our first responsibility is to our children, but our next responsibility is to those around us. This should govern our conduct as Christian people, as God's disciples here on earth. We abide in Christ by keeping his commandments. Otherwise, we prove ourselves to be liars, Scripture says. We prove ourselves to be liars. As stressed in the New Testament by Jesus on several occasions, during the Sermon on the Mount. And he's, in describing his true family, of who his true family really is, are those who walk in obedience. and in giving the great commission in Matthew, go ye out into all the world. One does not go very far in reading the scriptures, reading God's word, and realize that obedience to God commands are essential. We talk about things that are essential today when things start shutting down because of COVID-19. Living for Jesus is essential. If we are going to enjoy God's blessings. In Hebrews 5:9, where it said, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Are you in obedience to God's word this morning? Am I walking in obedience? Consider just a few commands this morning that you must obey if you are going to abide in Christ and enjoy this abundant life. Do you believe in the name of Jesus this morning? Do you believe that he was the Son of God, even though he came as a babe? And someday he's going to come as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And do you repent of all your sins in your life? Are there some things hidden there that you think no one else knows? Growing in the knowledge of Christ, and that takes continual reading of the Word and meditating on it, sitting under instruction of the Word of God. Are you growing in the knowledge of the Word of God? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews talks about that. Be at church. Be at church when there is meetings there. Prayer meetings. Sunday mornings. Be on time. Coming to church and fellowshipping with believers needs to be important to us. It's part of enjoying the abundant life. Are you letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly? Do you devote yourself to a meaningful prayer life? Is it important to you to spend time in praying for God's people? To those who faithfully obey Jesus, to them are given the comforting words in Revelation 22:14. Oh, that we might all, that might be all our experience here this morning, to hear those words of welcome. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So the secret of living this, of enjoying the abundant life, is bearing fruit, is abiding in obedience to its fullest. The fourth secret of enjoying the abundant life this morning is, maybe we could call them levels of obedience. Maybe there's a level of fear. We obey out of fear of what is going to happen if we don't obey. Maybe sometimes children live out of fear because if they don't obey, they're going to get a punishment for it. Maybe there's a level of selfishness. We obey because of what we know we'll get in return. Matthew chapter 19 is some wording there of Peter's that I want to bring out. Chapter 19, in Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Sounds a bit of a selfish reason that Peter shares here. The difference between the level of fear and the level of selfishness can be easily demonstrated in children. The sad truth is that many Christians never rise above those two levels of obedience. Some obey God only because of the fear of judgment. Others obey God only because of the promise of eternal reward. But there is yet a higher level of obedience, the level of love. The level of love. This is the highest level of obedience this morning, my friends. This is where we obey God because we love him. And we will continue to obey him no matter what circumstances it brings us through. Your children will obey you because they love you in the right atmosphere of a home. This is the level of obedience upon which Jesus wants us to do his will. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the secret to obeying is loving. God has always desired that his people obey him out of love. And that we need to portray to our children as well. That they obey us out of love. While we may initially obey out of fear or out of selfishness, the key to continued and successful obedience requires that it is done out of love. Suppose things are going well for us, that we do not sense any need for things from God. We are not likely to be motivated by selfishness. So do we recognize this morning that while things may be going well, do we recognize the need to obey God? Only when we are motivated by love will we be faithful in our obedience in good times as well as bad times, as well when the trouble comes and the trials and testings of life come. So this morning, if we truly desire the abundant life that God is offering in him, that Jesus offers, then let us learn to obey Jesus out of love. For the more we love him, the more we will want to obey him. And the more we obey him, the more we will abide in him. And the more we abide in him, the more we will bear fruit. And the more we bear fruit, the more we will truly experience this abundant life that he has for us. In the next place, the secret to the abundant life in Christ is the secret of loving is knowing. The truth demonstrated in human relationships. True love between a husband and wife is based upon the knowledge of each other and understanding of one another. The better we understand Jesus in his word, the stronger that relationship becomes. Strong relationships are based upon knowing each other well. Brethren who love one another are those who have made the effort to know each other better. So it is this morning in our relationship with God. The more we come to know God and his word and Jesus, the more we will love Jesus, especially when we grow in our relationship, in our understanding of that love for us, that he has for us. In John 3:16, he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. In 1 John 4, verse 8, First John chapter 4, verse 8. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, but that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter again. Chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Why does divorce happen today in marriages? Because that love wasn't growing. There was not a better understanding of each other taking place. Why is a branch cut off? Because our love wasn't growing in the things of God and in the Word of God. So by knowing God, we come to love Him. By loving Him, we obey Him, and by obeying Him, we abide in Him, and abiding in Him, we will bear fruit. By bearing fruit, we will experience the joys of this abundant life that He offers to each one. Now, the key to knowing God is we come to know God through communication. And this is this true in our human relationships? It is. We come to know each other better through communication. Communication is so important in our relationship with God, through our prayers. Communication between each other is so important and helps us to know each other better and understand each other better. Where there is little or none, relationships will flounder. And if your communication with God deteriorates, your relationship with God is going to fall apart. If your relationship in your marriage begins to deteriorate, if your communication in your marriage begins to deteriorate, your marriage will fall apart. Communication with God is a two-way street. We speak to God in prayer. God speaks to us through the times of meditation. He speaks to us through the Bible, written by men who were inspired by the Spirit to write the words that God told them to write. The value of God's word in hearing, in bearing fruit, is described in Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to take time to read that. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. A very familiar scripture. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Those few verses say a lot. Those few verses say a lot. The value of God's word in bearing fruit is described right there in those three verses. The value of prayer into receiving the blessings from God was taught by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. We also come to know God better through experience as we walk with him, as we go through life, walking with God, walking with Jesus. We will experience such things as love flowing from him to us, the strength that is important to us in our spiritual life, both of which, love and strength, Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would experience, and that would be their experience, and that they would be able to comprehend that. In conclusion this morning, for if we are willing to know God by giving him our minds as we read his word and as we pray with him, as we pray to him, then we will love God and give him our hearts as we learn of his love for us. Loving God, we will then obey him. And in so doing, give him our wills, since we are motivated by his love. Obeying God, we will abide in him and thus benefit from his strength. Abiding in him and benefited by his strength, we will bear the fruit that he is seeking from us. Why not expose yourself to the abundant life that Jesus is offering to you today, and Jesus offers to all mankind? Give yourself to God and enjoy the blessings of this abundant life. Coming to know God is the most important thing that you could ever do in your life. It'll be the most important question that you will ever answer, as to accept or reject him. For to know God is to love him. To love God is to obey him, and so on. This morning, may this message challenge you and I as we think about that Jesus who is going to come again to take his bride home, and we believe very soon. Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you this morning and with hearts of humility. Oh God, help us to be branches that are bearing fruit. And God, help each parent here this morning to sense the responsibility of bringing up the rising generation in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That they would want to obey you out of love. And they would be taught that in their younger years in obeying their parents out of love. And dear Father, we pray this morning that if there are any here this morning who have not made their calling election sure, that they would not wait, but they might do that. We just pray, Father, that you would bless each one who is standing this morning to share the word, that everywhere souls would be strengthened this morning and be bearing better and more fruit for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.